This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to another episode of How Men Think. My name is Brooks Like, and we are live from the Carneros Resort in Napa. I have a new guest host here today. I'm missing my good buddy, Mr. Gavin DeGraw, but we have a seasoned veteran of the podcast space. Mr. Ben Higgins is co-hosting with me
what's
today.
Up? Yeah, they call me the old pro, which is nice. It feels...
Well, I mean,
little hit to the system before we started.
I mean, you're only 30 years old. You can't be that old. I'm 6 years older than you. But yeah, that was Amy. That was producer Amy called you the old pro. That's and right. I just think experienced would have been a better word there.
Yeah. You know what? I'm pumped to be here because I have a feeling that your podcast is going to talk about things that is going to make me feel all sorts of awkward, which I'm excited about.
That's what we try and do. That's why we love having Gavin on here. He'll make it awkward. But we're live in Napa for Live in the Vineyard Music Festival. You've been here before, right?
Yeah, I have. I was here in May. I'd never been to Napa before the event in May. And I'll be like, in all transparency, I came here not knowing what to expect and not being super excited for it because there's just a lot going on at the time. And I left here going, this is one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. It is, the word I explained it to my family was it's like a magical evening where it's super intimate with some of the biggest stars in the industry. And they're singing in this room, and there's wine flowing, and there's people dancing. It's just, yeah, there's nothing short of magic that's going on here.
I love it. There's my fellow Canadian, Avril Lavigne. Hope we get to watch her. Kelsey Ballerini, Maren Morris, Adam Lambert. I'm kind of upset that Gavin DeGraw isn't on this list. My buddy Natasha Bedingfield is going to be here tomorrow. So a lot of great artists here that we can't wait to watch. I want to thank the new dating app, Scene Dating, and Joe and Kendall, who are going to be on the show later, for putting us here. It's the next generation dating app that offers complete transparency to men and women looking for the perfect match. You've tried other dating apps, try this one, Scene Dating. Transparent dating means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles an opportunity to match on human connections and chemistry. Let yourself be seen and enjoy the safest, most positive, and respectful dating environment ever created. So we'll get into that later. We're going to dig into some questions that listeners have. I also want to bring in my dude, Dimitri, who's rocking the nicest flannel shirt I've ever seen.
What makes it the nicest flannel? It's just a flannel.
I know, but it's dandy.
I will take any compliment I can take from you.
You're welcome, buddy.
By the way, while we're dishing out compliments here, is it just me or is Ben's voice like a gift from
majestic.
The gods?
It's just me.
I mean,
you know what?
It was like I thought he was introduced. It sounded like Zeus was booming down from the heavens.
Remember
when
I said
spoke.
Things would make awkward? I actually want to take this second, though. Dimitri, if you remember right, if I'm an old pro at the podcast space, then 2 years ago when the Almost Famous podcast started with iHeartRadio, everybody thought I was super funny. And it wasn't because of myself. It was because Dimitri actually was working on that podcast from day one.
That's writing jokes for you.
Met Dimitri writing jokes. And so now I get to sit down with him, like kind of the world comes back around. I get to sit down across from you and laugh once again at you.
Well, at me.
With
right,
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The thing. That's what we told you it was, that I was writing jokes. I had won a contest just to come and sit in the studio. And that's what happened.
We also are in the backyard of our good friend, Rick.
What's
Rick,
up?
Rick, this is your... Rick knows Nor everybody Cal. Here. He walks into the Carneros Resort here. Everybody's like, hey, Rick, what's up, man? You're the mayor of this place, buddy. But yeah. You picked us up at the airport. Your car was nice and cleaned.
I got it clean before I picked you up.
He had waters for us.
He
like,
did.
I told Dimitri when we landed, I was like, Rick better have that limo pulled up
and
right
all,
out front
all I
for
did
us.
Was take the Uber sign down.
There
Rick
was no phone must charger. Be a dad. There's only there's only way that happens if you're a dad.
Rick is a dad. Rick's a fantastic dad.
Yeah, Brooks had to sit in a car seat, but
I had to sit in the back in the car seat, just buckled right up. It's one of the ones that come over the shoulder too.
It's a 5-point harness.
Yeah, but we're gonna get into this. Is one of my favorite shows that we do, and Ben, I'm anxious to hear you chime in on this too. We are gonna do That's What He Said, number 3. So in our show, Ben. Listeners listen, they send us questions. You can send us your questions at men@iheartradio.com, and they'll email us their questions, and these questions are all over the map. We also have a new phone number that you can call. I don't have it memorized, but we'll get it to you. So these questions are from our How Men Think listeners. They write in, and they want to get a man's perspective on what we think on this topic. So
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm gonna I'm gonna put you on the
hot seat.
These are
some tough questions, man.
I'm gonna put you on the hot seat with the very first one.
Yeah.
This is from Christina Mazeral. She says, "My question is about children. What would you do if you found out the perfect woman is exactly what you want, but did not want to have children? What would you do?" So you find the love of your life,
yeah,
but she doesn't want it. This is assuming that,
that's a hard question.
It's a super hard question, but here's, I mean, I think you have to weigh, it's actually, you just to go about it, logically, you have to weigh how important children are for me, for you. So like if children are super important to me and the partner that I'm entering into life with doesn't want children, I don't think it's going to work. Because there's always going to be a seed of resentment. And I think you have to weigh if the relationship with this woman is more important to you than the than your opportunity to have kids one day. If those are reversed and the kids are more important, you can't be with this person, no matter how perfect they seem at the time.
Ooh, that's, so you could make that decision.
And I think I would have to.
Yeah?
That's the thing. It says you found the perfect woman. If you want to have kids and she doesn't, is she the perfect woman for you?
No, she's not.
And by the way, as far as resentment, if there's a woman that settles down with you and doesn't want to have little Bens, no. I will resent her because the world needs more you.
Dimitri. There he goes. This is
I'm really enjoying this. Yeah, you're going to get Thank you for this.
I got to agree. I mean, man, that's a sticky one.
Yeah.
Like, that's a because it's hard to find a good match. And especially like your soul. What if this is your soulmate? Like this is your undeniably this is your person. And then she says she doesn't want to have children. I think you got to look at what I would do if this were me. I would go and look at my purpose of this relationship. So in my relationship, I want to enter my relationship to be a husband, but also a father. That's why I entered my relationship. Those were my two. Like I want to be a father, but if my wife or this person didn't want to have kids, man, I think that's, I think it's too important to me. I think I want to have kids in my life, and I want to see a reflection of this person in that kid. I want to see a reflection of myself in that kid. Like,
I think that's the important thing is the wording is the perfect woman. I don't know if that's, if she doesn't want to have kids, then I wouldn't define her as perfect. Woman.
Okay.
But the best if you want to have kids.
By the way, there's a pitfall here too, because a lot of people, correct me if I'm wrong, think you can go in a relationship, oh, she doesn't want to have kids, I'm going to change her, or I'm going to change him. And you get in there, and they don't change, and then you're in this marriage, and you're like, I told you I didn't want to have kids, and that other person thought, I'm going to change you, and then it's just, then you've just spent all these years thinking you're changing things up.
So I have a friend, a good buddy of mine, was in a committed relationship, loved this woman, and I've talked to him since, loved this woman. She did not want to have kids, and he ended it. Because in his life, he wanted to have kids. Yeah. And he's like, I love her. I want to have kids with her. I don't want to have kids with somebody else because he can't see that right now. But he was like, she was adamant that she's not having kids. And so I had to make a decision.
Brooks, I think I think Rick and Dimitri have summed this up really well with a lot of wisdom. I don't think it's that hard. If she doesn't want to have kids and you do.
That sounded like a compliment, Ben, but that wasn't.
No, it's actually a huge compliment.
It's a complicit.
They've made it easy to understand. If you want to have kids and she doesn't, she's no longer the perfect woman for you. Hmm. So, I think it's that easy.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the next one from Jana. I was introduced to a guy through friends. He hasn't committed to a relationship and I'm not good at being casual. I know that I want to get married and have kids, so I don't want to waste my time. I told him I deserve to be a priority to someone, and I don't feel like I am. He says, I think we should just be friends for right now. What the hell does that mean? And why take me to your parents' house? Oh, and we went on a birthday dinner for me with my parents and brother. Why go do that? Did I just scare him about the future? I just don't know what to make about getting friend-zoned after 4 months. This sounds complicated.
It sounds complicated, but let's go back to that one thing. I think we should just be friends for now. What the hell does that mean? It means we should just be friends.
That's the point of this show.
Wasn't he? Keep it simple, stupid?
Yeah, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, I mean, she's looking at 12 different layers here where one's very simple. He's like, well, I'm just not there yet. Maybe we've had some good times, but like he's honest. He's straightforward with her. I think we should just be friends for now.
But on the flip side of that, I mean, like, why is he taking her to his parents' house? Why are they going to family dinners? You know,
they're friends. Like, she said, I think we should just be friends for now. Obviously he looks at her like a friend.
But we also don't know the time of this. Like did they go to the dinner before that? And then she asked this question.
Yeah,
and
like, he's did like, they, did you they go what? On a date?
Hey, you, we it? Went to my parents' house, and I realized I don't want you coming to my parents' house for the rest of my life. Maybe that happened. He's like, we should just be friends. We don't know the timing of all this.
Right, Ben, what do you think here, buddy?
You know, as I've gotten older, my like gal pals have decreased. Like, you know, in college,
really?
High school. Yeah,
mine have increased.
I don't have as many like close girlfriends that are just friends as I used to. I think for some reasons, because when there's like chemistry as friendships, it's hard to then decipher, like, to not feel some type of romantic connection. At least it was for me. So it's healthy also. But I have buddies who would have zero idea that a girl like is actually into him. Like, she's into
I can
him
see that.
And I wonder if Janet's into this guy and he has no clue and he thinks they're just hanging out as friends and it's cool for both of them to just be friends. And he has zero idea that she has any romantic like chemistry.
Also, yeah, but the thing is, she says, I deserve to be a priority, and I don't feel like I am. He said we should just be friends. He knows. He just doesn't want it.
What? And also, what's wrong with like, what's wrong with bringing a friend to that kind of thing?
It sends mixed signals. Right, I don't want to go to like my random friend's parents' house just to kick it. That's a girl? Like, that feels weird.
I know, but he also was very straightforward. I think we should be friends for right now. I also want to welcome somebody that's going to give us the other side, a female insight to this. Our good friend Katie Moe is here, and she's just jumping at this one. She's just like, no, you guys are all wrong.
Yeah.
Katie Moe, what's up? How do you look at this question from Jana?
Well, hey, guys. So I'm looking at this question, and you're right, there's so many layers to it. Ultimately, she was flat out wanting to be a priority in his life. And he's saying, you're not. You know? He's saying, I want to be friends. And I've had guy friends. I've always been a guy's girl for the most part. So I've been to my guy friends' houses when I was in high school. I don't know the age of this person, but when I was in high school, I've been to, you know, a Thanksgiving celebration, like an early Thanksgiving with a guy friend or something, and it was just friends. I think they're just on two different pages, and it's a communication thing, 100%. And also, have they hooked up? I want to know the details of this relationship. Because if they haven't hooked up, they definitely are just friends, but if they have, it complicates it more.
That's a great point.
Yes, but here's the thing. She says, I told him I deserve to be a priority. 100% you deserve to be a priority. And if you're not with him, then he's not the one. So you'll find the person that you'll be the priority with. The part that scares me and that I feel badly for her is, did I just scare him about the future? She's already blaming herself. Mm-hmm. She's like, did I mess this up? Were he and I going to be a thing? And then I asked about it, and then he decided just to be friends? That's not the case. If he wants to be friends, he's going to say, let's be friends. If he wants to be more, he's going to say that. But don't go into, did I just throw this whole perfect thing off track because I asked about us? There's nothing wrong with asking about where you stand.
Right. Yeah. That's just good communication skills. And honestly, if he's not going to prioritize her as more than a friend, she should either be accepting of just being friends or move on.
Very well said. We're going to move on to the next question. Very well said, Katie Moe. That's why we have you on here, girl. And you have the best boots in the entire Napa.
Oh, thank you.
You should see these boots.
I love these
rocking
boots.
Remember when Ben said he was going to feel uncomfortable?
It sounded like boots.
Ben and I both have our shoes off.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are sporting socks. At least she has shoes on.
Next question is from Mary Beth. Thank you, Mary Beth, for this question. Question to the married guys.
It's like a sleepover here with you two.
Question to the married guys.
Good thing the wind's blowing.
Here we go. You guys all sound so in touch with your families. You work hard. You cook. You clean. You're close with your kids. What do you and your spouse fight about? So if life is good, right? It's a good life. You have a good marriage, good relationship. What do you fight about?
We fight about finances. I live a little more free. Like, oh, don't worry about it. We want this. Let's do this. Let's do this, and things will work itself out. And my wife is a lot more business oriented. She went to business school, and she's like, well, and she like will make a spreadsheet and she'll figure stuff out and be like, well, we can do this, but in 3 years it could be this. And I'm like, let's just live. Like, so it's not that they're knocked down, drag out fights, but we argue about money and how we're spending it.
I argue Rick? About like I mean we clean up after each other in the house, but like clutter in the sense of there's like little, we have obviously with the kids around, there's like keychains and backpacks and whatever. And it's like, say something, I'll put the shoes or the backpacks on the stairs. And it's like, you take it back, take it up when you go upstairs, right? Or when you go put it away. Well, it's like, you'll walk by it like four times without just like dealing with it. Yeah. So like my argument to her, what we kind of argue about, which isn't the end of the world, but is like, hey, why don't you just take that up? Why can't you just put their clothes away? Why can't you just put their backpack in the garage while you're going down to the garage anyway, or whatever that may be? You know, it's like, so those are the things that we sort of fight about. Obviously, you know, on a more serious note with Dimitri is finances and.
But I can get on board with that clutter too. We have the same thing, and it's like
it drives me
because
crazy.
Kids,
I hate clutter.
Kids
hate
leave
clutter.
Stuff crazy. Right? But the problem is, so every once in a while, and I'm gonna get killed for saying this, but every like
you won't.
Okay, great.
We'll protect you.
I didn't mean to. Thank you.
This is a safe
but
place.
Sometimes my wife will leave stuff, and it's just like nothing drives me more nuts than like eating a opening up like a Lifesaver or whatever and leaving the wrapper there. It's like just throw it right there. Just get up and throw it out. You don't have to worry about it later. And so the kids, so she's not like the kids just leave stuff, but she every once in a while will do stuff, and I feel bad. But sometimes they'll be like, hey, which one of you is this? And the kids will all be like, no. And I'll be like, and she'll know. Then she'll be like, oh, yeah, that was her. So it's kind of a
like,
dick thing
to
do.
It's like
but
me. It's like you're taking care of three kids or five kids in your case, Dimitri. Right.
That's a lot. Mine, with my wife, mine is about time. So
I'm sure.
It's about like my wife works very hard and I admire her for her work ethic. But sometimes it's too much. And I'm like, I want to spend time with you. Like my tank is low. I want to see you. Like, I know you want to do this and that, but like you could have done that work earlier in the day or like, I don't know, just too many things like learn having her say no to some things. I try and complete my day by 5 o'clock. So at 5 o'clock, I'm off and I'm on family time. That's her dog. That's like time with her or friends. Like I'm not emailing. I'm not doing anything after 5 o'clock. And she will push past that, well past that. And so time is the one that I kind of argue.
And I think the other thing when once you have kids, Brooks, is having those kids and how are you dealing with those kids? Like my son is, you know, he's falling back in a little bit of a couple of his courses at school. And so we're like, okay, so what's the strategy here? So it's getting on the same page with your wife. What's the strategy? Do we take away his phone? Do we make him come home after school and then work on his school until he's done with that and then let him go out with his friends or whatever? And so like the other day, classic example, we kind of hammered down on him and was like, okay, come home at 4:30. You're going to give us your phone, any devices. You're going to work until 6. We're going to eat dinner. And then at 8:30, you can check your phone for a half an hour. Well, like it just happened to be that day where I came home and we didn't have anything to do and he had no homework. And so she was like, well, just you can be on your phone until 5:30, you know? And it was like, we immediately broke the rule, like what we put in place. And so it's like, you need to be on the same page. And that's what we fight over. I'm like, well, why are we breaking the rule if you're, you know, why have the rules if you're going to break them on the very first day or the second day? It's just so those are things with kids. It becomes complicated.
So I want to go one step further here, though, for my own interest. So if you see these things that are like annoyances to you or they kind of get under your skin, how then in a marriage or any relationship do you bring them up? Is there an appropriate way? Do you just let them go? Yeah. Do you kind of build a callus yourself, say, you know what, I'm just let this go? Or do you, how do you approach it?
You pick your battles.
Yep.
So is it worth fighting with for that one right there? You know, and the kids are home and is it worth it? Or do you let it kind of go and say, okay, let's see what happens tomorrow? That's what I do. It's kind of pick your battle. How important is that topic or that battle for you right now? Brooks,
the way, so that's a dance, man. And you're dating. Yep. I've met your wonderful girlfriend. That's a dance that you just kind of learn over time. You learn the give and take of that. It's communication and my wife kind of, it's not a system, but my wife and I have found a couple tools almost to navigate that kind of a water. And we'll lead with this. We lead with this sometimes when we're about to say something to the other person that might be jarring to them. I'll just say like softly, I'm like, same team. Like we're on the same team. I'm on your team. I'll just say same team, but this is happening and it's making me feel this. And so whenever we say, that's kind of a code word for us, same team means you're just laughing. You're like, this is crazy.
I gotta be honest, man. Like,
it's easy. It works for us. It's like, and also we almost challenge each other. We challenge each other and almost compete with each other in our relationship to see who can listen and understand.
So I have a friend that him and his wife challenge each other to see who could be the first to apologize. It's putting the other person ahead of you. You two are looking at me like,
man. This is a beautiful.
I don't have kids. So I think co-parenting is a different conversation.
I think that's probably.
But something between two adults where it's your actions or my actions, we're grown up enough and love each other enough that we can listen. And it's not like shoving it in each other's
face. I just think
this
is so like if I was in a therapy session and somebody said to me, listen, when you guys are getting heated or you're getting at each other, say same team. I would be like, okay, I want my money back. That's because that's not a feasible way to live. Like,
so, I disagree. I think it works completely.
I think it's amazing if you can do it. But me personally, I can't see I can't see that as something that me personally could do. See, to me, it sounds very fairy tale-ish.
I disagree, man. It's like it's you're on the same like you and your wife, no matter what you're on. You might not be on this agree on something, but you're on the same team.
I know that.
So but what if like something that you're going to share is going to be really jarring? Really jarring. Like if it's something like, hey, love, can you clean this up? Or like, or Brooks, you left the toothpaste out or something. That's you don't need that. But something like jarring. How are you going to?
You text her and say, we need to talk.
Oh, God.
You text.
Okay. That's worse.
You text the love of your life. Or you send a text.
Or you can just text the whole thing out.
I say, send an email.
What is wrong with you?
You're being a total right now.
Send an email and make the subject same team. And then get into it.
No, I will say, I think same team I get it. That's a good strategy and it probably works for you. But, I mean, being married for 15 years, it's just at the end of that, as you go, it doesn't work out that way.
I'm calling
15 years.
Dude, I'm calling
Still get through stuff.
Yeah, but you can't say at the end of 15 years that just doesn't work like that.
No, but 15 years. Okay, take me. 14 years, 4 kids. I know we're going to get to the end of this argument, whatever we're arguing about, but there's no way I can kick it into low gear at the beginning of an argument and be like, okay, honey, listen, same team. I'm going to rush to see that I can apologize before you. That sounds like tips I'm getting from a cereal box.
So I'm listening to both of the arguments, and what I'm hearing that's the same in them, although you might not agree with exactly how he does it, and you might not agree with or Dimitri and Brooks. But what I'm hearing so far is it's not what you argue about or the frequency of your arguments, but how you argue.
Yes.
And that's how you argue for that individual relationship. So it's how you guys argue, Dimitri, and how Brooks, you argue with your wife. It's going to be different from each other, but it's ultimately not the frequency or what it's about. It's how it's done. That's what we've.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I guess it's
yelling,
there's also,
screaming fights.
Yeah. And there's just different methods. You know, it's like they, you know, I think, to be honest, I think you're right. It's the people involved in this and that. Honestly, if I was in an argument with my wife and I said, hey, honey, same team, she would probably want to slap me.
Well, yeah,
that's just not who she is.
How you said that. You said, hey, honey, same team. That's already like an offensive tone.
Because I'm already
supposed
to.
You got to go in the offensive.
How would you say it, Dimitri, if you were trying to kind of calm the situation down?
If I was trying to calm the situation, I said, listen, we're arguing. We want the same thing here. We want the same results. But the way you said it was, hun, it didn't even sound like you were fighting. I'm calling bullshit. I was an argument.
Truth for me, I spent my whole life in locker rooms. I've been in shouting matches, like in people's faces, full dudes shouting, like, and I don't want to live my life like that anymore. Well, so I don't bring any of that to my relationship. My wife and I talk things through. I'll be fully transparent. We don't yell at each other. That doesn't. When you're yelling, emotions are elevated, and you're not receptive to listening.
Listen, you're right. You came from hockey. Some guy cuts you off on the ice, and you guys start throwing punches and knock each other's teeth out.
My own team.
You never got up and went, hey, same team, pal.
No, my own team. Arguments with my own team.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one.
This is good.
Ben, what you got here?
Oh, I think here's the part of it. Each relationship is unique in its own way. I think what we're getting to is the topics that make this podcast incredibly unique and compelling, in its core, conflict resolution. So each person deals with conflict differently. And for Brooks, because of his background, how he was raised, his career, it works. I think I'm hearing it works for you to associate it with a team. We're in this together. Let's settle the score. For the other, it's just let's confront it. Let's dive in head first because we know at the end of this, we're going to get out of it. It might get really ugly. It might not always be navigating the right direction. Tempers may get high. But at the end of it, the idea of being on the same team is always there. It just isn't said because for a little bit of time, I really don't like you, but I still love you.
That's and I think well we're I think where Dimitri and I are coming from is we don't need to say it because we already know that we're on the same team with that person.
But also, I'm an emotional person. So I'm Greek. I get heated. It's like I can't kick it down to
you
do. Same team. I have to be like, listen, I have to blow off my steam. Let me just say what I have to say. I'll vent, you'll vent, and I know we'll reach that point.
Or again, you just text her and say, hey, look. I just made an appointment with a therapist. It's Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Dimitri, question for you. Like when you say you need to vent, what will be your tone? Is it going to be like you need to say what you need to say? Or do you need to like say it the way you need to say it? Like,
I mean, it depends on what it is. I never get to like a screaming.
I can't see you getting to that. Yeah.
Thank you. But there are times when I will get heated and I'll be like, no, you're not. I'll give you an example. You're not. Listen, the point is what I'm saying, Brooks, is that you say same team. I can't be on the same team right now. That's me getting heated.
Okay.
Thank you. And scene.
That's great.
That's the best part about this podcast. Conversations like this, because you can have them in a safe place, and not everybody can have these. So I think it's a great conversation.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate the plugs you're throwing for How Men Think.
By the way, I feel like we are on the same team with Ben. This is nice.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome anytime.
He's the old wise guy.
This is so easy when Ben Gav's not here, because like Gav would just be stirred.
The grizzled vet.
Because Gavin's single. Gavin's full-on single. So he's like, this marriage thing, it doesn't sound so good to me.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go to Vegas.
Well,
and eat a steak.
Whenever you get our checks. Okay, more of your questions. We've got to take a quick break, and then we'll get back with more of your questions. Back from break. My name is Brooks Light, co-hosted by Mr. Ben Higgins, and we got Katie Moe in the house.
What's
here
up?
Too. We are at Carneros Resort at live in Napa at the music festival. Now we're going to do something new that we have never done before, and I was hard on Easton and Amy to get this because I want you guys to have a microphone. We have a new voicemail where you can call in and ask us your questions instead of emailing him. So we have a question from a listener. Here it is.
Hey, guys. So I was listening to this past episode with Tanya, and I was like screaming in my car because I was wondering if it would be different if the man or the male or your partner in the relationship, like making less money, it's not even really about money, but I mean about the success of that other person. So like Tanya is a well-established woman in her career, like is that intimidating? Regardless of the money, regardless of the things, regardless of the trips, I'm just thinking like the success and what that feels like. Is that emasculating for men? Thanks, guys.
So I want to bring this to you, Ben. I just want to let you take the lead on this. Do you think it'll be emasculating to a man to be with a woman who is more successful? Just take the money out of it.
I don't want to get weird here, but I think we first have to define success. So, like, I know Jessica's dream job would be to spend her time working with young women who have suffered with eating disorders, because that's what Jessica's background's in. I don't think there's probably a ton of money in that field, but her impact as a person could be far greater than mine would be if I, for example, I don't want to even say a job, because every job can impact people. But so I think we have to define success. So if Jessica's reach as a mentor, as a person that would give her time up to sit with young women as they're in their like heaviest times, I would love that for her. Now, if we're talking monetary, if my spouse is making more money than me, or if she is more well-known than me, more high up in her career, I would love her enough to actually, I think I'd be super attracted to it. I think I could be her biggest fan. I think I would literally be like in awe that a woman that is that driven, that focused, that passionate would want her to spend her downtime with somebody like me.
So you think it's a turn on instead of something that's emasculating? 100%.
Wow.
All right. Dimitri, what you got?
Listen, my wife is extremely successful. I mean, there's no question about it. There's nothing for me. It's not emasculating. If you've got a problem with the fact that your spouse is more successful or making more money, listen, it's our money. It's great. Like, we're together. back to your thing. Same team.
Same team, buddy. Now it's same team. Hey,
well,
when it's about her money.
It's not an argument. But it's like, no, my wife is extremely successful, and there's not one part of me that's like, oh, I wish I was more successful. I want to be equally successful. I want to be successful in my own right. Like, I don't want to be like hanging on her coattails type of thing. Like, I would not work and just hang out at home. But there's no part of me that's ever like, oh, I can't, it's embarrassing that she makes more money than me. I think it's fantastic that we're doing things, and she's brilliant, and she's being rewarded for it. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Rick, what do you think, buddy?
I think it's not really about the money, but the reality is it is about the money. And it's about people feeling that way when somebody is making more money than the other person. And I think whether it's the wife or the husband, either one could feel emasculated, you know, and I don't think it's about.
So what about you? Would you feel emasculated?
I don't.
If she makes more money, drives a nicer car, better career. Yes. Like she's would you feel emasculated?
No.
Let me finish.
No. I would feel.
How could you say that?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. This is what I think. Tell me what I think.
Not you guys. But I just think we're doing such a disservice by not acknowledging that this is emasculating. It makes me crazy.
I will say, if I did
you
not...
You four keep being the exception to what the rest of the world is.
How there do you are, know?
Because I've experienced it.
Oh,
so
but
I do,
how do you
know.
How do you know you haven't experienced it with that bizarre little amount?
Maybe that's the exception.
Listen, here's the thing. If I couldn't get a job... And I felt like worthless, and my wife was making money. Yes, maybe in that situation. But my situation, I'm saying, I don't have a problem with her making a lot of money. If I could not get a job, and I felt like, and everyone looked at me like, look at this guy, she's supporting him. Yeah,
you didn't say that.
But because that's not my situation.
But
yeah,
but
I agree with him.
We're also trying to speak broader terms here, but for other people.
But the culprit, I think here, because here's a unique thing that, as you said that, Amy, and. I don't think any of my married friends that are men make more money than their spouses, because a lot of my friends, and just because of where life's taken them and a ton of things, are like in like working for the church, or, you know, like in like missions, working for Ancient, like Humanity and Hope, like the nonprofits and stuff, or like working for Generous, that, you know, I don't get paid from that. And that's my full time job outside of this podcast. Luckily, that is my source of income. I think the variable that is speaking to is, it's not if your partner is making more, it's where is your worth being held. If you can't find a job,
exactly,
and I'm at home feeling so inadequate to do anything of value, then yes, I would be incredibly like weak in my and like feel completely demasculated. But it's not because my spouse is thriving. It's because I...
That's a big shadow. That's a big shadow hanging over your head.
And I think the other thing is, if your spouse is the one that's bringing in all the dough and being successful, and they're not allowing that space, they're not letting you into that space of success, not from a money standpoint, but coming back home and being like, hey, we're going to engage in our life now. This is where we are. Instead, they're like, oh, I'm hopping on a private plane to go to Salt Lake to go, you know, speak at this conference. And yeah, we'll chat later. Like, I think that's where it becomes emasculating, where it's like, you know what? Screw you. You think you're hot, right?
Yeah,
no,
you're not. You touched on something there, Rick. I actually firmly believe if the woman is still so supportive of the man. Let's say I'm a school teacher and my dream is to be a school teacher. That's the greatest thing I could accomplish in my life. I'm going to max out my earnings at maybe, my dad was a school teacher, he became a principal, but like if you get to six figures, that's unbelievable. That's going to take you 30 years to get there.
You all just made it about the money again. If you're the successful, that's what this woman's asking about, successful school teacher, then you've achieved success in your field. Wouldn't be emasculating because you're the success in that field, you know. So I think that's a different conversation.
But also, if she's supportive of the man and what he's doing, would help a man not feel emasculated if he were. If she made 10 million bucks and he made 50 grand, but she loved him and supported him in his mission. If she says, mm-hmm, like what Rick said, like, hell yeah, you're going to feel emasculated. That's going to cause resentment. You're done. But if she supports him in his mission, like in my mission right now, my life is different. I used to make money playing hockey. Now I'm not. Like, my wife is greatly out-earning me.
But she's,
even with this podcast,
he doesn't even make any money on the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's why. And I think that's in why the she's same respect, Brooks. In the same respect. And sorry, I'm talking. I try not to talk this episode. So all y'all with your letters, keep them coming. It's fine. But here's the thing. I think it's important, too, if the woman is successful, to make her feel feminine. You know what I mean? Like in the same
respect.
The
man should make her feel feminine?
Yes, because if she's working all day and that makes you feel sort of one way, that just like you want the woman to be supportive of you, I think the man should also be supportive, even in a different way, of the woman who's sort of the ball buster and successful.
A woman doesn't have to be a masculine energy to be successful. A woman can be successful as a feminine energy.
We could argue that in a different show, because we could argue that in this another episode.
I will tell you this. I truly believe this. The men that are sitting in this room, and I think a lot of men out there, would be incredibly supportive of a partner, of a wife that is thriving. And I know right now, when Jessica has small victories or big victories, there is a joy there that I've never felt for any person ever. It's like everything's awesome. Like when she's thriving and she comes, she just did it today. She just called me and is like, Ben, I'm going to be able to speak at this conference and talk to women struggling with eating disorders. This is what I've dreamed of, she said. This is my dream. This is what I've always wanted to do, and I'm going to be able to do it. Like, my feeling in that moment was unlike anything I've ever felt before, because I knew how much she wanted it, and I knew that was her marker of success.
Okay. I know women who are super successful. Now, the man might not work hard. So I do think that becomes where the conversation takes place, that if the guy is kind of freeloading, for lack of a better way to say it, that becomes brutal, and they just don't get along.
Yeah, because she's not going to respect him at that point. Like, she's out working and he's freeloading. She's not going to look at him and be like, oh, look, like, I don't know. I think you're right. I think that's the tough part there.
And it's also like, we're not saying that there's no part of us that feels that. Like, in my life, I'm not earning right now. My wife is earning way more than I am. There is still a part of you that is like, yeah, like, I am so happy, as Ben said, love that she's thriving, because I'm a part of that. I'm a part of her success. Absolutely love that. But yeah, there's still a part of you that doesn't compare yourself to her, but uses that as motivation. Like, damn, I want to level up too.
So,
like,
what is emasculating for you all then? What is something that a woman does that makes you feel emasculating?
That's the question. That's a question. That's the question.
So, I can answer this. So let's take this same scenario and what's been mentioned, but I think it needs to be sat on for a second, is if she was thriving and it comes back home and there is this, like, these passive aggressive comments or these jabs making me feel less than. There's nobody that could make me feel less of a man than my partner, who I'm entrusting with my heart, with my identity, with my tears, with my moments that I don't feel super masculine. She could break me. I know this about anybody I've given my heart to. She could break me with a word in a second. So their words, their actions, could make me crawl up
especially if you're trying.
Yeah.
Freeloading out of, take that out of the equation for a minute. If you're trying and she comes home and she says, "Oh, what, you want to go on vacation? Yeah, I'll do that for us." Something like that. It's like, man, you know, I'll do that for us. That, yes, I agree with that. That's where it would hurt, because then you're being felt to feel, you're feeling like you're not worth it. You're less than. Right. And that's, when someone's doing that to you, that's tough.
It's a great question, Amy. I don't even have an answer for that. That's a nuclear question, and like a very important question. I'm trying to think in my relationship how I can feel emasculated. I think when guys feel disrespected, I think when I feel that my efforts, even though they aren't paying off fruitfully right now, are not respected and seen, can make me feel emasculated. It's a real, I'm not trying to skirt this. I'm trying to, like, dig in and think hard on how I feel emasculated. But I do agree with Ben that somebody that you love,
you support and you just want them to win. It's just, it's not about you. You want them to win. But I'm really trying to think on how I, mean, if I feel emasculated.
If they
in the relationship.
Flirted with somebody right in front of you and pretended like you weren't there,
yes.
That would destroy you.
1,000%.
Yes. I also think, Amy, your perspective on this stuff is always interesting to me. And this is why. There's a reason you get emails and letters from people who are like, Amy doesn't need to talk on the podcast, because you are a powerful force. Like, you have grinded and, like, you have a grit to you that is unlike many women in this world because of what you've been through. I also think you're playing in a playground full of people from Los Angeles who, I don't know, I've never dated in Los Angeles, but like you said, it's always what's better next, what's better next. And it's, how do I get ahead? It's a very, very selfish dating culture from anybody I talk to. Now, there's some really great people out there, but they aren't everywhere. What you would need is a man to come beside you and say, Amy, I love everything about your success. I love everything you've done to this point, everything you've built, everything, every opinion you have, every strong opinion you have. And I'm just here to tell you this. I want to be your partner and walking through this with you. I don't think you've ever had that, and it makes sense on why you don't see it.
Damn, he's good.
Yeah.
He's a grizzled vet.
He's a grizzled vet.
Well, it's just true.
And
it's the perspective of somebody that says, I've been through shit. I've seen it. I've been hurt too many times. I see everybody fall short. I see when I push harder, they move farther away. And if you never had somebody put their arm around you and say, you're just doing great, and I'm just really happy to be here.
I got this.
Yeah.
There it is. Dimitri.
Then great. How would you know it existed? But how would
that
you know
so
it
sweet.
Existed?
It's not about me.
But
I
how
agree,
would you know it existed?
Right. I think there's a lot to unpack on all both of what Brooks and Ben are saying, because it becomes super complicated. It's like Brooks even trying to think of what emasculates him. It's like you don't remember it until you experience it, and that's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I just have a gut feeling that there are people out there who everybody says, no, the woman can be at work and I'll be Mr. Mom and it's all good.
Well, some people can do that. I know I can't do that.
There's
people
out there.
There are people.
There's assholes.
But there's also that can happen. I have a member in my family that's a stay-at-home dad. So
I think that's
that
the
can
exception
happen
to the rule.
But I will say that that's not for me. Even though my wife is successful, being the stay-at-home dad is not for me. It's not a comparison. It's not I need to go earn more money. It's just not my life that I want to live. I hope when we have kids, I'll love them and whatever. But I cannot see myself being the stay-at-home
Rick,
dad.
Rick, do you think you could do it? Let's.
The
I want to ask
dad?
Rick. Do you think that you
sure.
could be the stay-at-home dad and not feel emasculated, and your wife is just ball busting out there, making all the money, like
again, I think it doesn't have to do with money. I think it has to do with respect. And when that person, your wife, comes home from ball busting and making all the money or whatever, and respects you the same and takes pride and is just as much as work that you've done, whether you were taking the kids, you were doing the lunches, whether you're doing the laundry, whatever that is, when you're at a stay-at-home dad and you get the same amount of respect as that person who's out doing whatever, maybe it's earning the money side of it, then it's okay. I would not feel that way. I feel like if they came home and they were like Dimitri's saying, like, oh, I'll take the family to Hawaii today, you know, or like once they do that and turn that switch on, then it's like, okay, no thanks. Like, all good.
By
like,
the way,
this isn't what.
Two things. I am kind of living that life right now because my wife has a full-time job, so she works all day long. My schedule is way more flexible, so I do pack the lunches and I do take the kids to school. And there is that moment when you get to school and people look and they're like, oh, maybe he's not working, she's working. It's like, but whatever, I am working. It's just that I have the ability to do that as well. So whatever. But the other thing is, here's a question. How come, you know, when people say, oh, a mom is like a CEO job, right? So when they say stay-at-home mom, it's like a CEO job. It's the busiest job there is. That doesn't mean she's not working. But when a guy does it, it's looked upon as like he doesn't have a job.
He's a failure.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So even though you'd be okay with it and your wife would be okay with it, how are you going to feel when the town, the neighbors are like, oh, there's Rick. He doesn't work.
I don't know. I don't have any neighbors.
Yes, you do. How would you feel? Do you think that would bother you?
It's a great question.
Yes, of course it would.
Yeah,
it would bother anybody.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that he has to change. But yeah, it would bother you. I think there's also, men have a lot of pride. Not saying women don't, but speaking for men, men have a tremendous amount of pride.
Well, it becomes interesting because that's how women probably feel when the neighbors say, oh, she doesn't work. She stays home. They probably feel like, screw you. It's gnarly here.
Mark it up for next podcast. Yeah, I think it's gnarly here. Why are we dismissing the value of a mom?
Also dismissing the value of a dad?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know, both.
All right, let's do the next one. Next one. And I'll be quiet now.
And just I want to say to our listeners, don't tell Amy not to speak because you had a tremendous amount of value, and that pisses me off when people write
that's
in.
That's so nice. I tried not to talk today because I know next week I'm going to really want to talk a lot, so just be ready, people.
By the way, just to go back to earlier in the podcast, when Amy and I got heated a few minutes ago, there was one part of me that was about to be like, Amy, same team. I couldn't. My body wasn't even close to being able to do that. I just want you to market research. I did it, and it didn't work.
That's all right, brother.
The other thing, we already passed it, but like there's the stay-at-home mom that makes the lunch, wakes the kids up, does the laundry, drops the kids off, and then she goes to the country clubs and plays tennis and eats lunch and drinks wine until 3 o'clock and then rolls back and takes a nap and then goes and picks them up at 4 o'clock. So what the hell do you call that?
Well, you're going to get roasted by some moms out there. All right, we got to take one more break. We'll be back. Man, those are awesome, Ben. Appreciate you hanging out. And those are some tough questions, man.
The tough questions are the best part, man. Thanks for letting me be a part of this. And I think this podcast is doing and will do great things for a lot of people.
We're trying to, man. We try and dig in deep. And now we have some guests with us. The reason we're here is because they have a new app, Scene Dating, that put us here. We have some guests, Joe and Kendall, in the house with us. Hey.
Happy to be here.
Part of Bachelor. Like, I kind of want to be part of it. No, I don't want to be part of Bachelor family because that would mean I'd be now single again.
You're doing all right.
I don't want to be divorced. But like, I've met so many awesome people that are part of the Bachelor family, and I watch the show. My wife sometimes hosts Bachelor viewing parties.
Oh, awesome.
So we watch the show, and Joe, we watched you on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
How was that, man?
It was a rough experience, but it was wonderful at the same time. I wasn't the best dancer, but I grew as a dancer, you know? And I say this, like, I'm professionally trained now, so when I go anywhere...
Yeah.
You're the star.
I'm probably the best dancer in the
world. Yes! he has more training than anybody else.
Was your wife working on the show at that point?
No.
No, I think she was up. But my brother-in-law's girlfriend, Haley.
Haley was
on the show, cool. Yeah. I would love to try that, though. I've wanted to dance. Like, I actually bought a dance DVD before I even met my wife to try and learn how to dance. Now we've been together 6 years, and I still haven't learned.
You have a head start in the competition.
Joe might have to teach me tonight. No, she hasn't teach. Even for our wedding. I didn't even get taught how to dance for our wedding. No.
So, yeah. You don't know how to dance?
I don't know how to dance.
Join the club.
Yeah. let's talk about your new dating app, because a lot of our community, we get a lot of, right, Tori? We get a lot of dating questions. Our community wants to know about dating. So you guys have a new dating app called Scene Dating. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so Scene Dating is pretty much transparent dating. And what I mean by that is that all of your messages and all of your video chats that you have with people on the app are actually public for everybody to view that's using the app.
Wow. Whoa. So Joe and Kendall.
It sounds scary.
I love it.
Joe and Kendall, if you guys, say you guys are just like, you're on the app for the first time, you guys would have a conversation on video and Ben and I could tune in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So anybody on the app can see everyone else's conversations. And what we've found is that the more public conversations are, the more people are there for the quote-unquote right reasons.
Yeah.
So there's no ghosting. There's no unsightly pictures that are sent. And Joe and I have had a lot of experience, and a lot of people in the Bachelor world have had a lot of experience with public dating and dating that other people can see.
Yeah.
For us, I just felt like it was being transparent in how we are dating. I think it just helped our relationship so much with the honesty part of it and transparency.
Yeah, I agree. And it's an app for people that actually want to meet someone seriously and want to date seriously, opposed to randomly hooking up or just putting yourself out there and wanting to get followers or whatever. This is for people that aren't scared to show who they are, you know, and they're not trying to hide behind a fake profile or catfish or whatever you call it these days. But
let's say I'm watching a date.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the girl. Can I somehow get in touch with her or say, like, hey, get rid of this guy. Come talk to me. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, definitely. I mean, yeah. As long as you're still on the app.
I mean, so you have to be polite. You can't intrude
in
the middle of the conversation.
All is fair in love and war. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to get the person you're meant to be with. But the cool thing is that they have the swiping element to it. So just like a traditional dating app, you can swipe, but also you can see other people's profiles, like anyone's profiles. So even if you're a girl,
there's no private profiles.
Yeah, no private profiles. Okay. So even if you're a girl looking for a guy, you can still see other girl profiles, create friendships with the other girls in the app, and talk to pretty much anybody.
What do you all see is the downside to this format? Because I'm reading this, and this is also my brain. I typically get really excited about, like, kind of far out there ideas that could actually work, and I can see where this could work, right? It eliminates a lot of the things that are issues in dating today, the ghosting, the kind of aggressive pictures and comments and stuff. What are the downsides to this?
I mean, go ahead, Joe.
I think it's, you know, I'm naturally a shy person.
Okay.
So I think it's trying to it's overcoming that, right? Because you're going to have a conversation and other people are going to see it. But once you break that barrier, then it's freeing. I mean, that's what The Bachelor did for me. You know, because I was shy and it was hard. But once I was actually out there for the public to see, it was like, oh, this isn't a big deal.
You find strength in vulnerability is what I find. Yeah. So I feel like, I mean, at least for Joe's and my relationship, this is now the longest relationship I've ever had. And I feel like that has a large part of that has to do with the fact that it was so public and I was forced to be so honest and upfront with my feelings so quickly. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like it was just such a good way to start a relationship with complete transparency.
Mm, yeah.
Was that a problem for you in the past? You weren't able to do so, or you weren't able to open up, or?
I think
the other person wasn't?
I mean, I definitely have used other dating apps before. Mm. And there's the whole...
What?
Sorry.
I mean, but the thing is, you get so... I feel you caught up in the next best thing and what's shiny and what's new. And you don't really put a lot of attention or focus a lot of energy towards the relationships that you already have. And so by having it being public, I felt like it was something that I wanted to put more attention towards because there were people that were watching and learning from my experiences. So I was just very aware. I was like, okay, well, I can't mess this up. I have to, you know, go completely true and honest with it. So
some of the lessons from your relationship are laced into the fabric of this app.
I think so.
Yeah. In developing it, I think we saw the benefit of our relationship being so public and we wanted to bring that to a broader audience. Yeah.
Wow.
I see just how powerful this app could be. And I also get where you're coming from, Joe. For the shy people out there, this might help hold them back. But what this will do is eliminate the jerks of the world on both sides. I think that the people who aren't in it for the right reasons will stay away because they can't hide here. Vulnerability opens people up to a whole new world that they've never been used to. It's listed here, and I want to make sure to say, because I think this is an awesome idea. Hashtag real connections to follow the daters around and see what kind of connections are being made. So make sure if you're interested, you look up the hashtag real connections on Twitter and Instagram.
So I have a Tori, our producer Tori here, smiling. We have your newest app member, Mr. Gavin DeGraw. So my co-host that is not here today, Mr. Gavin DeGraw, we're going to sign Gavin up.
Yes!
We are going to sign Gavin up for scene dating. So walk us through this. I sign Gavin up. He doesn't know this. He's just going to get a notification later that, buddy, I signed you up for some dating.
Yeah.
I sign Gavin up. What happens? Now, he has to create a profile. Can you walk us through Gavin's journey here?
Yeah, it's very much like a traditional profile. So you put your pictures down, you put a bio down. And I think the real meat of the profile is really when you start having conversations with other people that are on the app.
So how does that start?
So you can match with people or you can reach out to people that you see on the app.
So I have to be, say I'm like, do I scroll through people in my area? Do I?
Well, yeah, there's, so right now it's only in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Anybody in the country or I think the world can watch it, but you can only participate if you're in LA. And then you have two options.
As of now, it is spreading to other cities.
Yeah. As of now. But you can swipe. It's the same thing as a traditional app. Or
so swiping means like I like I want to connect with you.
You can match with someone.
That's okay.
Or you can just request. And then if your request is accepted, then you can start a conversation.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm. So it's like real dating. I mean, I almost feel like it's closer to the real world than other apps.
So what happens if I have too much to drink? And I say something one night that I regret. You know, I've gone too far. I've loosened up too much. I wake up the next morning. I go, oh, no, I've ruined myself.
Yeah.
Can I? Is it just out there for everybody to see
forever?
Oh, no.
We've all been there.
Yeah,
I mean
we've all done that. And you have the option to remove that. But then that's going to be like on your record. So people are going to say, oh, if you do that, you know,
too
if you
often.
Do it once, yeah. It's not a big deal. But if you do it multiple times, then people are like, oh, this guy's pulled down
12
multiple
videos.
Conversations and multiple videos.
That's a red flag.
That's a red flag. So yes. I don't know if I actually take this person serious.
Cool. So there's a record of how many conversations I have had?
Yes. Can
so
it's
I go
30
back
days.
For how many days?
Yeah, conversations within 30 days. So it's very much like a story you would have on Instagram. It just shows the recent conversations you've had, including the video chats, and then they'll automatically delete as time passes.
Okay. So then let's say I like a girl. She likes me back or something. I can go on and watch her previous conversations.
Yeah. Kind of get a vibe for how she is and how she interacts with people.
Wow.
And if you're like, oh, you know, she's attractive. I'm into her. I like, you know.
Or yeah. Or oh, I actually don't like her personality.
Yeah,
or
you see,
yeah,
you see
I don't
talks.
Need to connect with her. Move to
exactly.
somebody else or something. Wow. Yeah. This is fascinating.
And I like the idea of not being able to hide that you're talking to multiple people.
Mm.
You know, because I think that it's easy for people to get caught up and have multiple conversations with multiple different people. You're spreading yourself too thin. And I think there's a lot of bad that can come from that. I think really focusing on certain people that you really see a connection with is the best way to go about relationships, at least personally speaking, from my experience.
Why are you all involved? You're together.
Mm-hmm.
You're not dating any longer. What makes you want to get involved in a dating app?
So Mike came to us with the initial idea, and his initial idea was to create a reality TV show out of the app. And so, I mean, I thought it was really intriguing, but I felt like with Joe's and my experience being a couple that has found love publicly.
We're
professional daters. And also with the new podcast that I have where I match people up on Down to Date, I felt like we had an experience. I mean, at least I personally had an experience with public dating and the effect that it had on people and the positivity that it had. So we worked with Mike to create an app that would allow people to have the same experience.
I like it because it's scary. You know, you hear it and you're like, I don't know if I would feel comfortable doing that. And that was the first time in my life where everything kind of worked out is when I stepped out of my comfort zone.
Life begins at the edge of your comfort zone.
There you go.
So
there's
like,
the tagline right
like,
there.
My question there is that, is it ever too intrusive? Does it go too far? Is it because I get you're trying to get people to mm-hmm. open up, but is it ever does because it's such a public forum, does it push it too far?
Well, once you actually meet someone you like, you could take the conversation off of that. Like
yeah.
you don't have to.
You
stay
can have private conversations. So you can choose to have private conversations.
Oh,
so you can
okay.
exchange phone numbers or meet up in person. Not everyone can see your phone number or your address.
Yeah.
So it's just the initial meetup.
Yeah, it's more of a way to show that you're serious. Like yeah. you're in this to actually meet someone or to date for real.
Yeah.
yeah.
Can you message somebody? Is it only video chat that you can do
no,
on
can
there?
Oh, no, it's message
also.
And video
you
chat.
You can message. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you just, you know, you, you don't feel comfortable at first jumping on camera or video or whatever, you could just message each other and then be like willing to accept a video chat.
I Brooks, if I look like people. You, I'd be video chatting everybody that I ever wanted to.
Right back at you, brother. Yeah,
well. I encourage video chatting. I always feel like the bravest thing to do is to FaceTime somebody when you first match with them on like a dating app, because you get to see like the true, genuine, unfiltered, unedited version of the person. You
don't
have a bunch
that.
Of friends saying, what should I say back? What should I do? You know, it's
like breaking the ice.
It is breaking
the ice. I like that, Kendall. I agree with that. Cause I FaceTime probably 8 out of 10 phone calls are FaceTime for me. Just
yes.
friends or people or whatever. I love FaceTime, but I also think there is something to putting yourself, being vulnerable, lowering your weapons on a FaceTime. Like you can see somebody, you can be like, I don't know, I'm just calling you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say hi and I don't have any lines. I think it kind of lowers the weapons and makes people more vulnerable and almost more engaging and in what people deem to be a somewhat awkward way.
Yeah.
But it's actually a truthful way of like, hey, we're actually having a real conversation and you know, what are you doing? I don't know, show me where you're, what's your apartment look
like? We're giving
like,
someone 100% of your attention, which is
very true.
Which is not something that's very common.
It's more the traditional way.
Yeah.
If you actually look at it, it's like we're taking technology and now we're going back to where there was no phones and I used to scream out your window and say, hey, you know, it's me, Joe.
I used to holler at people at the window.
I mean, I didn't do that, but I think like Leonardo DiCaprio did in, what was that, Shakespeare, the movie he did?
So is it, so we're going to sign, Tori, we have to sign Gavin up on this thing. He's just
Hey, my sister's going on it too.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm excited. My twin sister's going on it. So I'm excited to see her experience and kind of tell everyone about how it is her, with her going on the scene up.
No age restrictions on this? He'd be
No,
not,
everyone's
18 and over.
18 and over. Yeah.
That's
what I meant. But like, is it a free app? Is it a subscription based?
It is free.
It's
so
free,
it's free for people who are viewing it and also people who are also dating. You can also pay to have
the deluxe version.
Yes. You can pay for the deluxe version where you get more swipes and you have a lot of features with that.
So more features unlock. Upgrading to Dater Plus unlocks extra features.
Yes.
Love it. Mm. I'm excited for Gavin. Gav, my buddy, has a tough time getting dates.
Yeah. Gavin DeGraw. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he has a tough time dating. You know, Joe, you said something that hits with me. If I was single, I'd definitely be into this app because... if you met me 6 years ago, I'm a different man then than I am today, a lesser version of myself because I put myself out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I did something that was incredibly scary that made me insanely nervous. I was shaking during most of my time on The Bachelorette, but I'm a better man because of it, because it opened my world up to a world I had never known I could first that existed and also that I could even partake in something and have the confidence to do something like a show like that and probably like an app like this. I think this is awesome. I think this is great. I'm a fan of Scene Dating. I'm a fan of Kindle and Joe.
Where can we download this?
You could download this in the Apple Store.
Yeah, Apple Store, wherever you get your apps from, you can download it from.
Yeehaw. Okay, Tori, we have to get Gavin on this. Joe and Kendall, I appreciate you guys. Scene Dating is the next generation dating app for online daters fed up with faked up profiles and time wasters. Scene is the first and only dating experience that offers complete transparency to men and women looking for the perfect match. Joe and Kendall told us so much about this. This app's going to be amazing. Transparent dating means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles who are serious about dating an opportunity to match on human connections and chemistry is so important, and that means more real connections. So if you're tired of relying on a contrived profile and a set of might look like me but probably really does not look like me pictures, Scene reveals a potential partner's complete personality and charisma and lets you choose. Let yourself be seen and enjoy the safest, most positive and respectful dating environment ever created. Ben, you are the man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.
And also, guys, can I be like adopted as an honorary bachelor?
You're in the family.
Yeah.
We're spreading.
We'll give you a rose. We'll find you a rose.
Yes.
Around too.
Okay. Download Scene Dating and swipe to go on a date with Gavin DeGraw.
That's it for this episode. Joe and Kendall, thank you for coming by. Ben, I appreciate you, my brother.
Bruce, it's been a blast.
Yes, thanks, hope you'll come back and check out his podcast, Almost Famous.
Man.
It's I've learned so much from you, actually, just from watching you, the way you podcast, good sir. So I appreciate everything you do. Best of luck to you and your beautiful girlfriend and to all our listeners. Take care of one another, love one another, and we'll see you right back here next week.